Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church Podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Well, good morning, church. My name is Brandon. I'm the lead pastor out here at our Hortonville location. And if you're new, I want to ask you, after the sermon, if you'd be so brave, would you come up and give me a handshake? Like, wait till after the sermon, though. It's awkward when people do that in the middle of the sermon. But after the sermon, come up and give me a handshake. I'd love to say hi to you. I'd love to meet you. I'm going to tell you something about me. Actually, I'm going to tell you three things about me. I don't like to ask for help. And I don't like to admit that something is going to be too hard for me. And I don't like the idea that I could fail. Right? I don't like to ask for help. I just don't like to admit something's going to be way too hard for me. And I don't like to fail. So here's the deal. I plugged these three things into WebMD to try to figure out what's going on. And here's the results. It turns out I'm human. So I guess that's what it turns out. Any other humans in the room this morning, anyone else struggle with this? Not wanting to ask for help, not wanting to admit that something's going to be too hard, maybe even acknowledge the idea that we could fail. I remember the summer before my junior year, I was 16, which is, you know, just the best time in a young man's life. That's when you know the most stuff. I had a 64 Chev pickup, and I was camping in the woods outside of town. It was mid-August, and early one morning, I had to go down the mountain and into town for a football practice. And so I get up really early, and my dad says, hey, listen, are you sure you want it? Why don't you stay here? You've been staying up all night. You're running on hardly any sleep. It probably isn't the best idea. I'm like, nah, Pops, I'm fine. I gotta go to make this practice. And he says, "Well, all right. Well, here's the deal. Don't drive too fast." I'm like, "Yeah. I know how to drive. Come on." And then he says, "You know, do you know which road to take? You know, these Forest Service roads can be kind of hard to navigate sometimes." I'm like, "Yeah. I know the way. I've been here 100 times. You know." And I just kind of burned rubber and head out, and a few miles down the road, I'm going too fast on a gravel road, and my pickup fishtails, and I end up in the ditch, and I hit a tree, and praise God, my body was all right, but I tell you, my pride took a blow, and I had to walk back to camp, and thankfully, I wrecked before I got too far down the road, and so I walked back in, and I'm just, ashamed to admit that I was going too fast. And so I lied to my dad. I said, deer jumped out and I had to swerve and miss it. You know, somehow that seemed a bit more acceptable. And you know what? I never told my dad the truth. And my dad passed away. My dad, the rest of his life, believed that I swerved to miss a deer. And then I got the whole thing about how you always hit the deer, you don't swerve, and blah, blah, blah. So I got the lecture anyways. It didn't benefit me. We hop in my buddy's pickup, drive back to where I wrecked, and the first thing my dad says is, "I'm glad you're alive." And the second thing he says, "But you weren't even on the right road." And so I was in this situation where, because of the fact that I didn't want to listen, I didn't want to ask for help, I didn't want to, you know, someone tell me how to drive and give me directions, blah, 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 blah. I was in this situation, and the worst part of all of it is that when we hooked my buddy's pickup up to my pickup, and he was a Ford guy, and you know, I love Jesus, so of course I'm a Chevy guy, and we're always kind of going back and forth about that. As my buddy's pulling my pickup out of the ditch, he looks at me and says, "That's what I like to see, a Ford pulling a Chevy." And that's like an all-time low. It was not my best moment. I don't like to ask for help. I don't like to admit something's gonna be hard for me. I don't like the idea that I could fail, especially in the stuff that matters. You know, especially when it comes to like being faithful to God, following God for the long haul, doing the right thing, sticking with God. I can say the words like, I need God's help, and I can't actually do this on my own, and I could fail without God and stuff like this. I can say those words, but I tell you, it's a hard pill to swallow. Like, it's a hard thing to actually internalize the idea that God would ever let something come my way that would be so hard that it would bring me to the point that I might give up on him. I can say that, but man, it is hard to actually internalize that, to really, really grapple with that. And so I'm curious, are you anything like me in this? Is it kind of a challenge to admit that, I might not be able to do this thing on my own? Here's the deal. Whether you follow Jesus or not, life is going to serve up some hard stuff and send it your way. You get that whether you follow Christ or not. And life will serve up the type of hard stuff that will bring you to the point that people will say, listen, if all this God stuff is real, why is this happening? Like if God is really who he says he is, and he really is with me and so on, why am I going through this? And that's the point where a lot of people will eventually walk away from God. They'll give up on faith altogether. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you are there. You can hear it when people say things like, listen, I thought following Jesus would make my life better, but somehow there's still hard stuff coming at me. How do we reconcile those two things? The problem with that statement is that the Bible never says the hard stuff won't come our way. Quite the opposite. It says you should expect it. We should know it's coming. God does not promise to spare us all hardship. What he does say, though, is that if you hang in there with him, he'll get you through it. In the past 6 weeks, we've been looking at this prayer called the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, we've been looking at each little section, each little petition, and this week we get to that last portion, and we find in Matthew 6:13, and in this final portion, Jesus tells us to pray about the hard stuff before it comes. Why? So that when it does come, we can get through it. Right, so what I want to do is read the whole section together, read the whole prayer together, and then I would like us to pray all together, and we're going to ask God, would you just help us get this? And then we'll look more closely at verse 13. And I guess my goal is that just by the time we're done here, you'll be a little bit more able to trust God, like even when it's really hard. And that you'll be a little more likely to look to him for help to get through the hard stuff. All right, so here it is. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Jesus says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So let's pray about this. God, we read right here that Jesus said that we are on a regular basis supposed to pray to you, to ask you, Father, for help, that you would help us get through it, that you would help us survive the hard stuff, that you would sustain us, Lord, that you would lead us not into temptation, that you would deliver, that you would save, God. And so I ask that you would help us to be a group of people who knows the hard stuff's coming and looks to you for help and trusts that you can get us through it. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'm willing to bet that several of us could recite those words without even pausing to process what they actually mean. I'm one of those. Are you one of those? Could you say these just mindlessly without even pausing to go, what am I saying here? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What I'd like us to do is take off our glasses and do one of these, right? And let's just rub the fog of familiarity off the lenses and look at this verse like brand new, fresh, right? Like as if we haven't looked at it for a long time. And I believe that we'll see that Jesus is simply telling us in this verse to ask God for help, lead us, deliver us. And why? Three things I want you to see in here. One, because life is going to be hard. Two, we're all going to be tempted to leave God. And three, God can get us through it. All right, so the first one, Jesus tells us, ask God for help because life is going to be hard. Why do I say that? Well, lead us means bring us, carry us. So, right, so right where we're starting off is saying, God, we need your leadership. Like we can't navigate this thing without you. God, would you lead us? And where? Not into temptation. What does that word mean? It doesn't mean the kind of trial that tests you so you can pass. There's a different word for that in the Greek. This word for temptation means a trial, and it's intense, and it's the kind of trial that tests you so it can catch you in a trap. This is the kind of trial that by design is supposed to take you down, like a gotcha. This word, as far as the nature of the trial, is very general. So what does it mean by temptation? What exactly are you going through there? Really, it can refer to any kind of hardship. Now, of course, to the early reader, the first thing that would come into mind is persecution, right? Suffering injustice. Jesus himself and his earliest followers suffered violent persecution, did they not? And they suffered it at the hands of evil people who were in power. And many Christians around the world today still do. There's people in parts of the world that are still going through much the same stuff. Praise God. I am so thankful that for right now, today at least, that's not what we're facing. But this word, temptation, also includes suffering and hardship that would not qualify as persecution, right? But would still be hard enough to take you down, right? So just pick something in your mind that you would say, if that happened, I don't know if I can make it. If this thing happened, I don't know if my faith could survive. I just don't know if I'd keep following God. Whatever that hardship is that you think of would probably fall under the definition of this word temptation. Why do I say that? It's because the nature of the hardship is not necessarily what matters in this word. It's the goal of the hardship. Right, Jesus tells us to ask God for help because life is going to be hard, and it's not just going to be hard, it's going to be so hard. The second thing I want you to see is that we'll be tempted to leave God. You know, it's not just the hardship, this word temptation, it's not just hardship. It's hardship with a goal, specifically to steal you away from God, to get you to walk away from him. So the idea behind the word temptation, it's not just that things in life are hard, but they're the kind of hard that make people say, I'm out. I'm out. I thought I was in on this whole God thing, on this whole faith thing. I'm out. All right, so the exact nature of the hardship is not the point. It's the outcome that matters. Right, the exact nature of it can vary. James uses the same word, and he says diverse trials. It's the end result that we need to pay attention to. What's that end result? What's the outcome, the designed outcome of this temptation? I would ask you, can you think of another time in the book of Matthew when Jesus was led into temptation? Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Let's process through this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Who's leading him? God, right? The Spirit of God was leading into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Who's doing the tempting? That tempted there is the same word where Jesus says, lead us not into temptation. Right? Who's doing the tempting? Right? So God doesn't do the tempting. James in James 1:13 is very clear. God doesn't tempt. Don't say that. It's not God who does the tempting. Satan does the tempting. But God will absolutely lead us into a place where we would be tempted. God does not ensnare us, but he does providentially, by his leadership, allow us to get close to the snare. Let's read the rest here. Verse 2 says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter, it's the same word again, came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, dot, dot, dot. And those of you who are familiar with this passage, I'd ask you, what was being tested? What was being tempted here? What was the tempter trying to accomplish? What was being tested was Jesus' loyalty and allegiance to his Father, right? What the devil's desired outcome of this temptation was that Jesus would be unfaithful to his Father, that he would abandon his mission, the whole reason he came to earth. Satan wanted to offer Jesus the throne without the cross. Satan's goal was to snatch Jesus from the Father and from the Father's purposes. His goal was that Jesus would just abandon the mission, and here's what it is, follow Satan into hell instead of following God into heaven. That is the desired, the built-in outcome of this idea of temptation. It's temptation unto destruction. And now we might say, well, it makes sense for Jesus. It makes sense that he'd have a pretty big target on his back, wouldn't he? He only was the key player in executing God's entire plan for the redemption of humanity. So I can see why Satan would want to take him out. What about us, though? We're not quite as big of a deal as Jesus. I mean, we're important, but come on, let's be honest. What about us? Is the goal of the temptation the same? Can you think of another time in Matthew's gospel where Jesus tells his disciples to pray that they do not enter into temptation? Do you remember when he said those words? It was the night before the cross. And Jesus led his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, watch and pray. And then he goes a little further, and he falls down on his face, and he says, Father, if there's any other way we can do this thing, if there's any way possible, would you let this cup pass from me? Is there a way we can accomplish your plan without me going to the cross? Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. And then he goes back to his disciples, and they're snoozing. Listen, when I get overwhelmed, I like to take a nap too, so I don't blame them. But Jesus, this is what Jesus says. Watch and pray, what? That you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that you might not enter into temptation. What did it mean for them to enter into temptation? Well, after this, instead of sticking by Jesus' side, every single one of his disciples abandoned him. They fled. They scattered for fear of the persecution, the pain, what was about to happen. Peter himself, yes, Peter, who's just full and audacious and so in love with Jesus and so zealous for Christ, Peter himself denied Jesus after this. Can you imagine that? Peter, I'll follow you wherever you want, wherever you go. I'll die on a cross with you. Anything, I'm with you. Peter says, you know, Jesus? Never heard of him. And then Judas would betray Jesus by selling him into the hands of the men who would crucify him. He kissed him on the cheek and sent him to a cross. Judas, so consumed with guilt, would later go out and hang himself. To enter into temptation is more than just being tempted. It's succumbing to the temptation. It's more than just being baited to come to the trap. It's being caught in it, snared by it, and taken down by it. The temptation is not just wanting something you can't have. Please hear me. This is not when my wife bakes a thing of brownies and leaves them on the counter, says, don't eat those, they're for a church thing, which is cruel. And I'm tempted. It's not what it is. It's a temptation. The thing gets so stinking hard, you go, I'm out. I'm out on Jesus, I'm out on God, I'm out on faith. And Jesus tells us to pray. Lead us not into temptation. And so you might wonder by the construction of that sentence, if God, would God lead us into temptation? Does he do that sort of thing? Does he go around setting traps that we might step in them and get us? No, that's Satan's job. That's what he's about. That's his whole ball game. But if God, so if God doesn't tempt people, and God wouldn't lead us or ever want us to be tempted unto destruction, why would he tell us to pray it? Why on earth would Jesus tell us to pray, lead us not into temptation, when leading us into temptation it is not God's ball of wax? Please understand that Jesus is a master wordsmith, brilliant with his rhetoric, his persuasive language, and that can get lost in translation. But to help us understand what is being expressed by this sentence, lead us not into temptation, I want you to imagine a couple who have loved each other for a really long time. And they're going to keep loving each other for a really long time. And there's no suspicion whatsoever that one is going to leave the other. And the wife wraps her arms around the husband, squeezes herself close to him, and says, don't you ever leave me. Don't you dare ever leave me. What is she expressing? Faithfulness. She's celebrating faithfulness, right? Melanie and I, we look at our lives so often, and I'll say, let's just keep doing this. I'm so in on this marriage thing with you. Let's just do this till we kick the bucket. Sound good? Neither of us is expecting the opposite. Why would you say that? It's an expression of faithfulness. It's an expression of the desire of the heart of the one who loves the faithfulness and wants to stay faithful. Lead us not into temptation is the expression of the heart of the child of God who says, I never want to be unfaithful to you. Would you keep me faithful? Would you stay faithful? Would you lead me? Because life's going to be hard. And we're going to be tempted to leave God. But here's the good news. The third thing I want you to see is that God can get us through it. A good shepherd can shepherd our souls all the way to heaven, right? But deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. That is the word of rescue. That is the language of salvation. That's the language of hope. That is not optimism, that's faith that God can do it. He can get us through. He's gonna get us through. And he says, deliver us from evil. And everyone gets hung up here saying, is it evil or is it the evil one? Because I've heard both. And you read some people who say, this isn't, it doesn't say deliver us from evil. It says deliver us from the evil one. And then you read the next scholar and they say, this is not deliver us from the evil one. It's deliver us from evil. I'm gonna tell you which one it is. I have no clue. I don't have any idea. And I'm okay with that because I'm a little insider secret here. How the Greek is constructed, it is absolutely impossible to tell whether that word evil should be constructed in the masculine or the neuter. So we cannot make a decision of evil one or evil. And I'm all right with that. Why? Because should we pray, deliver us from the evil one, or should we pray, deliver us from evil, is like asking, which one do you want to be saved from? Do you want to be saved from a volcano or lava? Do you want to be saved from an alligator or getting bit? Do you want to be delivered from the tempter or the temptation? It's both. My goodness, it's both. Praise God. Jesus loves us so much. He says, I want you to pray. I want you to look at heaven and pray on earth as it is in heaven type prayer. There's going to be a day when we will be delivered and rescued entirely and perfectly and finally and eternally from the presence and power of all evil. There is going to be a day. You keep following Jesus and you have a future that is evil free. And Jesus says, hey, in the meantime, here's what I want you to do. Just one day at a time, keep praying that God would get you there. Keep praying that God will get you through this. Ask God to help you make it just that day by praying each day to be led into faithfulness. Why? Life's going to be hard. We're going to be tempted to leave God, but God can get us through this. So what's this got to do with just a bunch of really good-looking Wisconsinites in 2022? What's that got to do with us? This means we need to know the hard stuff's coming. You got to know that. If you've managed to be raised in church or go to church for some amount of time thinking that if I follow Jesus, my life's going to get better and that means there's not going to be any hardship, boy, I got to tell you, when this hard stuff comes your way, it's going to hit you really hard. We got to know that the hard stuff's coming and we got to know that the hard stuff is really hard. Like the fact that God's going to get us through it doesn't make the hard stuff any easier. The word for temptation is a trial unto destruction. It doesn't get any easier. Just because we know God's going to get us through it doesn't make it easier. Let's not minimize how hard the hard stuff is, right? So this should change the way we talk to people. There's a huge difference here. Let me try to, there's a huge difference between saying, trust God. He'll get you through this. Oh, you need to trust God. He'll get you through it. Okay. There's a huge difference between that and saying, man, this is hard. Let's pray. God, this is really hard. There's no way we can get through this. Would you help us get through this? Would you help my brother? Would you help my sister? Would you help them? We believe you can get them through this, but Lord, I don't even know how this is hard. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you look at your brother or sister in the eye and say, God's going to get you through this. It's a world of difference, isn't there? Don't minimize how hard the hard stuff is. The hard stuff's going to come, and it's really hard, and it's hard enough that it will bring some people to the point where they walk away from God. A dear friend of mine told me a story from his life of two friends he had, and each one was a father of a teenage daughter, and tragically, within about a year and a half of each other, they both lost their teenage daughter in car accidents. And the first guy just cursed God. He just got, he couldn't take it. He got so angry and so bitter. And he just eventually said, I'm done. God, why would this happen if there was actually a God? I'm out. And he walks away from God. The second one is really interesting. He said became almost consumed with finding his daughter's glasses. He says she wore glasses, and they never found the glasses. And he kept going back to the where she had the accident, where she wrecked, and he searched up and down the shoulder of the car accident, the scene where it was, and he couldn't find the glasses. And he'd go back there and go back there, and finally he said, I just broke, and I dropped down on my knees and I wept and I said, God, I just want to find her glasses. And he said, when I got done praying, I stood up and I looked over, and right next to where I was praying, down in the grass, there were her glasses. There's two very similar trials, two very different outcomes. The same hardship that will drive one person away from God can drive the next person to God. The same sun that hardens the clay can also melt. Right? Which one are you going to be? The hard stuff's going to come. We should take this prayer seriously. When the hard stuff comes your way, is your faith going to survive? We should take this prayer seriously, because the truth is we ain't got what it takes to make it through on our own. But he does. God has got what it takes to get us through. And none of us likes to ask for help. None of us likes to admit that something's going to be too hard for us. None of us like the idea that we could fail. But Jesus knows that we can't do this thing alone. So he very lovingly instructs us to ask God for help. So my question is, what's something in life so hard you don't know if your faith can survive? What's that one thing or one chain of events or the letdown that would let you so far down that you would never get back up? What is the one thing that could leave you so disappointed with God that it'd be a deal breaker? It's like something in life that you think, man, that would be so hard. I don't know. I don't know if I could keep following God. Here's my challenge to you this week, church. Is this sometime this week, would you, with at least one other person, ask that very question? And talk about it. Ask, what's something in life that's so hard that you don't know if your faith could survive? And let's not try to fix each other, all right? We're not trying to straighten each other out here. Listen. Talk about it. Ask, okay, why do you think that is? What's behind that? And then let's pray together about it. You notice Jesus says, lead us not into temptation. Not just lead me not into temptation. Not just deliver me from evil. Lead us. Like Jesus knew the word me, all right? I'm convinced of it. I've read it in here. He knew that word. It existed. He could have said that, but he said, lead us. So let's talk, listen, ask a question. And then would you pray with each other about that thing? Because life's going to be hard. And we'll all be tempted to walk out on God. But he can get us through this thing. Would you stand now if you're able, and let's close in prayer. God, we see here that Jesus says that we are supposed to pray on a regular basis, that you would lead us not into temptation, that you would lead us away from temptation, that you would lead us out of temptation, that you would lead us anywhere but the point where we give up on you. that you would deliver us from evil. We look forward to the day where we're just dancing in heaven and you've killed the fatted calf and we don't have to even look over our shoulders for a second and nervous about the presence of evil. We'll be so faithfully yours for all of eternity, and we will praise you for your faithfulness to us. And in the meantime, would you just help us be ready for the hard stuff? Would you help us to look to you for help through the hard stuff? And Jesus, would you get us to the finish line? In your name and to your glory, I pray. Amen. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. And God's people said, amen. Have a happy Thanksgiving, church. We'll see you next week.